Hello, and thank you for listening to another episode of Dan D'Antoni Sports. My name is Dan Snyder, joined tonight by Dan O'Shea and Tony Casper. We've also got our friends, Dan Beebe and Chuckles. So we're going to have ourselves a good show tonight. How are you guys doing?
Great.
Pretty good.
How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. We have a special show tonight. It's our 4th of July spectacular.
So
we're going to do an American-themed show. But before we get into that tonight, I do have our pigskin poetry, which I think this is going to be one of my funnier ones. So, without further ado, the state of Florida is a giant mess. Canes, Noles, and Gators, but who's the best? What if I told you it's none of the three? It's the South Florida Bulls in Golden Green. They have a guy whose name is Flowers. He runs real fast and throws with power. They may not lose a game. For the other three teams, I can't say the same. I can't deny the Gators could be good, but not in the same way South Florida could. Miami is weak and they lost their guy. It's like their Hurricanes are now just the eye. The Seminoles, now they have a debate, but they're losing to Bama right out of the gate. So who is the best? Just wait and see if any of these teams are in the CFP.
I don't think any of those teams are going to make the college football playoffs. Although I think South Florida gets a bad rap because they just play in a weaker conference, but they're a strong team.
Do they? That's the thing that really irritates me. The American Conference is the Big East without all the crappy teams.
Well, yeah. That being said, yeah. But I mean, South Florida. But no, the American Conference does not have the football talent and the strength there. I mean, UConn tried to create a rivalry, and they created, I swear to God, you can look this up. They created a trophy for their rivalry. South Florida didn't care enough to even pick up the trophy. They just left the field and left it there.
That is hilarious. But the argument that I'm going to make is last year there were three teams in the American Conference that were ranked, which are South Florida, they were ranked, Navy, Temple. This year they have another one, Toledo, that might be ranked. Well, I'm sorry, not Toledo, Tulsa. Tulsa, you know, the Golden Hurricane, which might be ranked. Last season, I think they went 10-3, which is a really good season.
Is Louisville in the ACC?
Louisville's in the ACC, yeah. So, like, it's really funny because the Big East got rid of all their crappy teams, Rutgers, Syracuse, Pitt, and somehow they're worse of a conference? I don't get it.
Yeah, the Big East still in general bothers me that it was even taken apart from a basketball sense. But, yeah, it's the overwhelming talent of the Power Five, specifically the Big Ten, the SEC, to an extent the Pac-10 and 12.
Yeah.
It's hard to compete against that, especially where down south with SEC teams, and even in the Midwest with Big Ten teams, football, those people, is a religion. To people in the Northeast, it's a sport.
Yeah, I get that. But my question really quickly before we get on to what we're really going to talk about, if South Florida goes undefeated, is there really a reason you have to keep them out of the college football playoff? Unless Alabama, USC, Penn State, and Oklahoma State or Florida, well, Florida State and Alabama can't both go undefeated. They play each other first week of the season. So if four of those five teams go undefeated, well then yes, I see the argument for keeping South Florida out. But if you say have a two-loss or even a one-loss Oklahoma State and an undefeated South Florida, I think you gotta logically think about putting South Florida in.
I think they can be in the debate if that's how it breaks down at the end. Yeah, I'd see them being in the debate. It's going to come down to their strength of schedule versus what you're looking at. But it's hard pressed to say that a team doesn't deserve to at least be in the college football playoff if they're undefeated.
Except for Western Michigan.
This is furthermore reason why I'm a big supporter of expanding it at the very least 8 teams.
16. Go 16 teams. That's what you need right there. Be, you know, not subjective. Take the top 16 teams. Just let them play.
Baby steps. I'll take 8 if the NCAA will get there, because it needs to happen sooner rather than later.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to kill that South Florida college football playoff talk. We'll save that for another week.
It's coming. It's coming close. College football's right around the corner.
I still think it would be very interesting if there ever is a situation where there's an undefeated team that doesn't make the playoffs.
They did. TCU. TCU went undefeated, and Ohio State got put in.
But with the strength and schedule, too, that
well, they didn't have the bowl game. That was the problem. They didn't. There was no Big 12 championship game, and Big 12 is going to be handcuffed by that, regardless. And if you, but if you have a championship game, what I agree with in what he was saying. I believe this is where you were going, is if you have a championship game for your conference and you go undefeated, if you get left off, will that further push the conversation to expanding to eight?
No, yeah. I don't think it will, because I know it's not a major conference, but Western Michigan went undefeated and had a conference championship and still didn't get any higher than 12th in the country.
Yeah, but if it's a big... Okay, so Western Michigan, from where they came, I'm saying if it's a bigger school in a maybe a bigger conference... Does it spark the debate more?
Maybe.
I think when you have two teams or, you know, teams in these situations like, you know, the Ohio State and the TCU from before, that was more clear cut. I feel like we're gonna need a situation where it's not so clear cut and that if there is some discrepancy in the decision, and then that will change everything. We're going to have some turmoil to get more teams.
If anything's going to change this, I think it happened this year. And it's the argument of Michigan, USC, and Penn State all had a legitimate claim to be in the college football playoff.
And Wisconsin was all in that mix, screwing it all up, wasn't it? Was it Wisconsin that was in the
no,
mix of that?
No. Wisconsin...
There was a couple of Big Ten teams that threw wrenches in people's seasons, but it should... I mean, they all had legitimate claim, especially... If you look towards the end of the year, you could have made the argument that there were eight teams that deserved to play.
Absolutely.
For a chance at the title.
Absolutely. If just off the top of my head, the four that were in, Ohio State, Clemson, Alabama, and Washington, and then I would have had USC, Penn State, Oklahoma, Michigan as the other four.
Yeah. But, I mean, the argument could have been said that you put Western Michigan in place of Oklahoma.
I would have put
Oklahoma
Western...
was good, but Oklahoma already got beat by a team that was in that tournament that year.
They did. Home. Yeah, so I would have been fine leaving them out. I would have been fine leaving out Washington, honestly.
I agree. I have my own feelings that Washington shouldn't have been there. But then again, the way Ohio State played last year, they shouldn't have been in there either.
Cough, cough, Rutgers. Scheduling Rutgers as your out of conference schedule.
America.
Yeah, America. Let's we're going to talk about America. We're going to go through and talk about our favorite American Olympians. Now, this is a pretty loose interpretation. They have to have been an Olympian of some kind, whether it's Winter Olympics, Summer Olympics, Special Olympics, Junior Olympics. Does not matter. If they represented the United States of America as an Olympian of some kind, we will accept it. All right? You guys ready to get this 4th of July spectacular off?
Yep, let's do it.
All right, I'll start the show. Number 5, I have a sport that I got into simply because of the Olympics, my number 5, and that is men's indoor volleyball. Now, the 2008 men's indoor volleyball team in particular, they're the ones that got me into, like I said, into volleyball. And they won gold, and they had a bunch of players from Penn State. So that right there is just 3 reasons why I have the 2008 men's volleyball team as my number 5 team. Penn State, which you guys know I love.
Of course.
I got me into volleyball in general, and they won gold. Go America.
Right. Go America.
All right, so number 5 is going to be one that I'm pretty sure nobody's really heard of, but his name is Eddie Egan. He is the only Olympic representative from the United States. Now, this has happened 4 times in world history, but the only one from the United States to win a gold medal as a light heavyweight boxer in the Summer Olympics, and then actually he won a gold medal as a member of the 4-man U.S. bobsled team at the Winter Olympics as well. So he's the only Olympic athlete from the United States to win gold medals in both the summer and winter games.
Very impressive.
That is extremely impressive. So, Chuckles, we're going to get on to you now, number five.
I have Jason Lezak. He was the anchor in the 4x1 2008 Beijing swimming freestyle. 4x1 freestyle that secured Michael
Phelps. Saved Michael Phelps, yeah.
His eighth medal. And that was probably, I was actually living with Tony in Albany. And we were watching that, and that was probably the most thrilling thing I had ever seen on television at that time.
It certainly was one of the most exciting things
they were going
watched.
In. I still remember they were probably
the French guy. What's his name?
The French were already in the water, and mm-hmm. they were behind him. And Lezak had to catch him back up, and he did.
Oh, he did. Man,
yeah.
Did.
Coming,
he
yeah,
closed
he was
the
closing
gap.
The gap.
Alan Bernard, that was his name.
Yeah.
Alan Bernard. Yep.
That was probably, and you know. Be it that he was in a 4x1 freestyle relay, you wouldn't necessarily say it was him or his name would stand out as saving that, but it, to me, that was a very crucial performance by an Olympic athlete.
Which I think I remember being kind of controversial because up until that point, Michael Phelps was always the anchor.
Yep.
Yeah, I think you're right. I do remember that. I just remember, having it mentioned, I still remember that moment sitting there, and you're just – there's something about the Olympics that brings that out of you where you're like, yelling at your television where, like, I can guarantee you every other 3 years I'm not yelling at my TV about swimming.
Or, like, you're right, and I remember back in 2008 – getting up at like 5 a.m. to watch the Olympics.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? That's not a point. I don't even know fencing. I know that's not a point.
But I still think that was one of the only like vivid memories I had of like almost screaming at the TV, not just because you were cheering for him, but you were like willing him to like pass this Frenchman to win. It was awesome.
A come from behind. It was a great moment. That was
sorry.
A good choice.
Sorry, Alan Bernard. I have a lot of respect for you, except the fact that you're French and your name has an I in it. Alain. That's not Alan. Whatever.
Alan.
Gonzalez. All right.
He was a swimmer too.
Yeah, I mean, he was more of a rafter, but whatever.
Sailor.
They still have boating in the Olympics, right? No.
Is that all you've got for Jason Lezak?
Yeah, for him, that was for me. That was stood out.
All right, Dan O'Shea.
All right, you guys have been starting off pretty obscurely. I'm going with Carl Lewis at number five. Mm. 9-time gold winner.
Crazy dresser.
Yes, crazy dresser, but in the 100-meter, 200-meter, and long jump, his world record in the indoor long jump has stood since 84, and those 9 golds were between 84 and 96.
I'm pretty sure his world record was broken by Byron Jones at the NFL Combine.
Yeah, but it wasn't broken
right,
at
that might be a world record. It's not an Olympic record, because the Olympic record is different
that's
than the
all the
record.
Pressure, yeah. So, much more pressure than the combine.
yeah. But
for
he broke
sure,
it.
The world's not watching.
A lot of people watch the combine.
Not as many as the Olympics.
Well, it's because there's nothing else on it. 10 o'clock at night when you're looking for sports.
I guess that's true.
All right.
West Coast baseball, maybe.
Yeah. No. Well, not at that time. No, because it's before April. It's before the draft.
World Baseball Classic.
Maybe. No one watches that.
I do.
Puerto Rico had a parade for second place.
Well, I mean, that's any excuse they have to pass out some green, they'll take.
Yeah, right.
All right, so is that all? Is that, you have more about Carl?
That's good enough.
I think he's
an actor or something now.
His Bengal jacket is like the greatest. He's like the Russell Westbrook of the Olympics.
Yeah. And he ran for office, but failed in like 2000.
The only thing he couldn't successfully run at.
Yeah.
Growing up watching him run was pretty amazing, but at the same time, watching him sing the national anthem and then asking to get a redo was pretty funny too.
I mean, I gotta say, if we were just doing our favorite Olympians, when it comes to running, Usain Bolt.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Everyone's like, I hate you. No, I don't. I love you.
Yeah. The man looks behind him as he's running to see where people are. Like, you know you're good at that point.
How
really?
Can you not him with that smile, too? He's just, like, looks at you, and you're like, I can't be mad at you.
Exactly.
I can't even hate you.
He even said when what's his name? Justin Gatlin's not in the race, he's not worried he's going to lose. When Justin Gatlin is, he focuses more. Or whatever his name was. Joseph.
Yeah.
What
I think you're right, though. The kid that it was, you're talking about, the kid that competed in the decathlon for us. Yeah.
All right. Dan Beebe, who do you have at number five?
At number five, we're going to go with MLB pitcher Brett Anderson. Through May of 2017, ERA of 3.99, and 2008, a Beijing Summer Olympics bronze medalist.
Very nice.
All right.
Baseball's making a comeback to the Olympics.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they are.
Yeah, I mean, I for one am not interested in watching Olympic baseball.
I watch Olympic golf, okay?
You watch regular golf.
Your bad taste has nothing to do with this.
I
love watching golf.
I watch tennis. Like these last
great nap.
These last few days at work, I've been putting my headphones in, having Wimbledon on. Excellent. Andy Murray.
Starts at like 7 a.m., right?
No, I don't know what time it starts there, but the earliest it starts here is 8.
Yeah.
I like watching women's tennis because I like to watch them yell.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do.
All right.
Well, that's not the creepiest thing that we've heard tonight.
Yeah, have you ever listened to women's tennis yelling versus men's tennis?
Yep. Yeah, it's a lot.
Does that give them more power? I don't understand that.
I don't know. I think they got asked to like tone it down at like the last Wimbledon or something.
I've just never understood because you don't see you don't hear it. Like maybe you'll hear a guy grunt every once in a while, but it's extremely loud. It just sounds like I can't place it. There's
maybe
nothing.
It's an intimidation thing.
Yeah,
you know, they roar at each other like female lions.
I'm still trying to figure it out. I still don't get it.
Make the other player like screw up or something. Yeah,
the only way that would be worse is if they did it in badminton. Because what are you screwing for? It's not going anywhere.
Ping pong.
Yeah. Ping pong gets pretty intense, actually.
Oh, it depends.
Yeah.
If you're from an Asian country,
pong?
Yeah.
That's no joke. You know who should have made my list?
Who?
Forrest Gump.
We never said he had to be an actual Olympian,
I guess. That's true. He did compete in a movie.
Forrest Gump should be at the top of everyone's list, if that's the case.
How does nobody know him? Never mind. We don't need to get into that.
Just the most successful human being of all time.
Right.
No one on that park bench knows who he is.
You ever been to his restaurants?
Yeah. So we're going to just quickly go through our number fives. For me, it was the 2008 gold medal winning men's indoor volleyball team. Tony, you had?
Number five, Eddie Egan, gold medal light heavyweight boxer and gold medal of the 1932 Olympic bobsled team.
Chuckles?
I had gold medalist swimmer Jason Lezak.
And O'Shea?
I had 9-time gold medalist Carl Lewis.
And non-Grammy winner.
Non-Grammy winner.
Non-politician.
That'd be specific, yeah.
Yeah. All right, and Dan Beebe.
We have Chicago Cubs pitcher Brett Anderson, 2008 Beijing Summer Olympics bronze medalist.
All right, very good. Let's move on to round number four.
Sweet.
Number four, again, I have another team here. This one's a little bit less of a team and probably more fun to watch. That is Misty May Traynor and Carrie Walsh.
Solid choice.
I don't know what her married last name is now.
Yeah, me neither. But
she's still Carrie Walsh.
Yeah, they won
opinion.
three golds?
Oh, they're so good. They probably won like 30. I don't even need to look it up to know how great they are.
They're fantastic to watch.
They are. They
balls, super fun. So.
They are, and they will forever be the benchmark for any beach volleyball team that will come after them.
I think they should be just benchmark for chemistry. I mean, especially in a sport that there's only two of you. You need to have that chemistry. And
they complemented each other so
it didn't seem like I've ever seen a pair gel like them.
Yeah.
Like, they knew instinctively where the other was going to be, what they needed to do. They knew each other's moves, it seemed, before the other team could even try and calculate.
Well, the men also had a team themselves.
Yeah.
Dolhausen.
I think it was only the one Olympics, though. I don't think they were together again the following. I'm not sure.
I think they were. Dolhausen or whatever.
The really tall, bald guy.
Yeah.
And, like, the slightly less tall...
Less bald guy. Yeah.
No, well, I know what you're talking about. They did it. They were pretty good, but nothing like those two. Those girls were incredible.
Yeah, I think they're still going.
Beach volleyball made like a huge uptick. Like,
oh, just because of that alone. Playing. Yeah.
I don't know about Walsh, but Misty May has retired.
Oh yeah, she did.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yep.
She did. Unfortunately, because like I said, she is there. That team is by far the benchmark, and forever will be the benchmark for beach volleyball. 200 years from now, if beach volleyball is still a thing, someone's going to be like, man, I wish I were as good as Misty May and Carrie Walsh.
I always found it so interesting to watch beach volleyball because of how much area they had to cover and just having to run and jump off of sand.
Have you ever played?
Such a workout.
Have you ever played beach volleyball?
Oh, yeah.
It's so hard.
I love playing beach volleyball.
I played it every summer, so I was well aware of how good.
These women made it look like
high level competition. Yeah, and they're playing for two people. That's a lot of ground to cover.
Yeah, it is.
Like, we would play with, like, a similar size court, and we'd have, like, four or five people. And, you know.
You'd still struggle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not moving. I'm not moving.
I'll jump and spike. Jump too, like you know, a regulation net. You know, I can pretty easily spike over, but that's
what are they
I'm
like 7 feet?
Yeah, because I'm 6'1", but they're spiking. I think what's the women's regulation? I don't think it's. Is it
I think
seven
it's the
feet?
Same.
Is it?
Yeah, because I think they were when the Brazilians and the French or whatever it was, right after they played, then the American men played the Brazil men.
Oh
like,
yeah, that's
right after.
That's right, yeah. And they just have these like perfectly placed spikes that somehow go up and immediately just dive down.
Mm.
Like
it's impressive.
They better be coaches.
I know,
and coach
I know
together.
Misty May is.
And coach
I
together.
About, I don't know about Walsh currently.
I think what's even more impressive is that there's not just one American team. There are like three in beach volleyball.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they are the team.
Yeah, yeah.
So not only are they competing against the rest of the world, they're dominating the United States as well. So unfortunately, it is over because Misty May Trainer decides, oh, I just want to retire and be with my baseball playing husband. Whatever. So
How dare she?
Who's she married to?
Something Trainer. I don't know. His last name is Trainer, and he plays baseball. That's all I'm aware of.
What team?
I have no idea. He plays baseball. His name is Trainer. Anyway.
You look it up.
Yeah, no. I don't care about her husband. I care about her and Carrie Walsh. All right, so we're going to move on now from women's beach volleyball, probably, to whatever Tony's got. Tony.
My number four is going to be Jim Thorpe.
Jim Thorpe. I knew someone was going to bust out Jim Thorpe.
I love Jim Thorpe. I'm a huge supporter of Jim Thorpe. As just an overall athlete, he was an absolute monster for his time. And he did win the pentathlon and the decathlon. He was the first ever Native American to win a gold medal for the United States, only to have it stripped from him because the Olympic Committee found out that he was getting sponsorships or paid to play in one of the amateur football leagues in the United States just to have it. The Olympic Committee eventually restored his medals after his death.
Yeah.
So he was he still is the first ever Native American to win a medal for the United States.
I just watched a video, a short little video about him recently. When he was in high school, he played 9 different sports.
Yeah.
And football wasn't even his best sport.
Yeah.
No.
He was a better golfer than he was a football player.
Yeah, that's right.
What?
He played everything. He was a great athlete, light years ahead of his time.
If he probably could have gone pro in football, baseball, and basketball all at the same time.
And golf.
If there was no Yeah, I mean, I guess being a golf, you know, a professional golf player doesn't mean much because Tony Romo is a professional golf player. Like, he makes money playing golf.
Professional is a loose term. He tried in some amateur events. He did not qualify.
He makes money playing golf.
Yeah, well,
which,
there's people in this town that do, so.
Which, speaking of making money for ridiculous things, this isn't related to what we're talking about today, but I looked up how much some of these tennis players have made.
Oh, yeah, it's ridiculous.
Rafa Nadal has made $80 million in his career. Andy Murray's made $60 million. And the two people that they played against today have made a combined $7 million in their lifetime.
Yeah, you want to talk about money. Did you hear what McIlroy said to some fan?
No.
Somebody tweeted out at McIlroy during the U.S. Open. It looks like McIlroy is bored playing golf since that Tiger left. Like, he's like, oh, I've got $100 million in the bank. I don't really need to try anymore. This isn't really fun. Well, McIlroy responded and said, more like $200 million in the bank. Not bad for a bored 28-year-old.
Yeah. Yeah, that's accurate.
But, I mean, we just saw the biggest contract in almost professional sports go down a few days ago. And Stephen Curry's going to make, you know, $201 million.
Until next year.
But when you put in comparison to the NFL quarterbacks, it would take the top 20 quarterbacks to equal that contract.
Yeah. So I saw that, and it was absolutely crazy. They were saying that there are five players in the NBA that make more than all the NFL players combined.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But next year, even more ridiculous, what's his name? Baseball player. Bryce Harper.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Will get a $500 million contract.
Yeah.
There will be some team.
Baseball needs
that,
a cap.
There will be some team that gives him $500 million. They might be able to negotiate down to $450.
But for that money,
it's going to be the Yankees, and they'll give it to him.
Nope. I don't think it's going to be the Yankees. I think it'll end up being the Cincinnati Reds from what I'd seen.
But for that money, won't participate in this year's Home Run Derby. Just flat out said not doing it.
He says he's not doing it, but he will compete in next year's if he's still in Washington.
He didn't want to go against Aaron Judge.
Right.
Year.
In a way, he's smart. Like, you know, Aaron Judge is going to be up, have everybody up till 5:30 in the morning. He'll still be at bat.
I don't think Aaron Judge is going to win it.
I do.
I don't.
Scary Sanchez. Gary Sanchez is going to win it.
Scary. Gary is scary. Yeah,
they're going to have to cap him.
No.
Like, he's all done hitting home runs.
Nope. I've got my money on Stanton. All
right.
The hometown?
Hometown boy.
The reigning champ.
Yeah, but it's in Miami. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
He's the hometown favorite.
All
that's
right.
Why Bryce Harper said he would compete next year's if he's still in Washington, because it's at the Nationals Park. He said he would compete as the hometown favorite, but he didn't want to this year.
He's going to get between $450 and $500 million.
Easily.
Dollars.
Easily.
It might be a 12-year contract.
Yeah.
But he's going to get it.
Book for the rest of his life.
Yeah. All right, Chuckles.
So I will go with number four. The 1996 Atlanta game saw Michael Johnson.
Michael the runner?
Yeah.
The guy whose shoes caught on fire?
Yeah, oh yeah.
He's on my honorable mentions. So that's a good one.
He won both the 400 and the 200 dash in the same Olympics, and he was the first to ever do that in any Olympics.
Plus, he's got the most common name in all of common names.
Yeah, and he actually in the '96 Olympics. Not only did he win both of the 400 and the 200, but he set the world records for both of them. Also,
that's nice. Yeah. Oh, really quickly, I saw today that it's down to two cities for the 2024 Summer Olympics: Paris and LA.
Go to LA.
LA has a chance at getting the 2024 Olympics.
That depends on how they build
that
city, stadium.
Like, that city doesn't have enough traffic.
They need to really
stadium. They're planning on building another basketball stadium because the Clippers are leaving the Staples Center. Mm-hmm.
Good.
And the best part about that is the owner's paying for the building. Like, he even told Los Angeles, he's like, I don't need your money, just approve the lot.
Yeah, it's like when you have WB Mason who needs Staples.
Right, yeah. All right, so Dan O'Shea, who do you have at number four?
Number four, probably might be some of your guys' number one or number two.
Probably
92
not.
Dream Team.
Mm.
They're not even on my list.
They're not on my list.
You know, just a ridiculously stacked American team. First time America used active NBA players, and this roster had Ewing, Bird, Pippen, Jordan, Clyde, Malone, Stockton, Barkley, Magic, and a couple other guys.
Jesus, the amount of talent on that roster. When you hear that, it doesn't seem fair.
It's insane.
I left them off simply because they're professionals.
I had them at my number two.
I mean,
they were two.
There's professionals at a lot of Olympics.
They were too impressive not to include on this. Like, what they could do. Players on other teams were coming up to them before the game even started to get autographs from them. They knew they were going to get slaughtered. They didn't care. There were players that were stopping, if you watch the video, stopping fast breaks not even bothering to get back on defense, mainly because it looked like they just wanted to see what they were going to do.
But there were people on that team that had already won gold medals before they were in the NBA, so they had already been Olympians too. So, and coming into it, I still think they're Olympians. If they're competing in the Olympic Games, if they're professional or not.
Yeah.
That's why I left off a whole bunch of people.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that's fair. I can see your assessment. I still think if we're going to talk about favorite Olympic,
the other countries are putting up professional basketball players too.
Yeah, before we were. And they averaged beating other teams by 44 points.
Well, I mean, in all fairness, the other countries have their, it's so sparse the number of pros they have.
Yeah.
You could put Duke in and they'd beat them. You could put North Carolina, the average North Carolina team in, and they'd beat them. I mean, why not? I think it's
it's getting a lot more competitive. Basketball's blowing up around the world. It's honestly, I think it's going to overtake soccer as like the international sport.
We had a later dream team that took home a bronze medal.
Sounds like a nightmare.
No, it was like Dream Team 2 is the way they tried to play it off.
Home with bronze?
There is only one Dream Team, and that's the one you're speaking
exactly.
of.
That being said, my most memorable Olympic basketball moment of all time is still when Vince Carter dunked over that 7-foot guy and literally took his
that
head
might have been the team
put
that got
between
the bronze
his
medal.
Legs.
Yeah. That was that dunk was legendary.
I'm 7 feet tall. He jumped over him.
I'm sorry, but when you're talking about Dream Teams, I can't accept that basketball team as the dream team when you have the Philadelphia Eagles, who had Mike Vick and Vince Young.
Oh, we're
that
done.
Was the dream team.
We're
oh,
done.
Yeah,
remember
dream
that?
Team. Oh, yeah.
You remember that?
Was
Vince
dream team.
Young the one that said it was the dream team? Was
the
one? Oh,
and then they won 6 games.
Yeah.
He's still watching the TV looking
typical
at all these quarterbacks saying, why are they in the league and not me?
Yeah. Well, because Vince, you're fat.
Well, why don't you go have a cheeseburger with Jamarcus Russell and figure it out?
Listen, this is Vince Young. You want to know why you're not in the NFL? Because first of all, you don't care. Second of all, you don't play well. I mean, what's his name? The football player who played at Marshall with the broken leg, Byron Leftwich. He put in the effort. That's why he was a 7-year starter in Jacksonville.
I mean, that being said, he could probably replace Christian Hackenberg.
I don't know.
What are you really going to trade for? Nothing for nothing? You just won't get reporters hit that often.
Just hit on and whatnot.
That's
Joe Namath.
Jets don't have a problem with that. Look at who they've employed. Namath, Favre.
Favre, yeah.
Favre.
Where's Favre?
They have a tendency for this.
Jets legend, Brett Favre.
Yeah. All right. Dan O'Shea. Number 4. You just did.
I thought
that was chuckles. Sorry. Dan Beebe, number 4.
Number 4 is current NBA star Carmelo Anthony.
Oh, that's a good call. Carmelo as an Olympic athlete. Y'all hear him out. Carmelo as an Olympic athlete is extremely impressive.
Yeah.
He dominated Olympics.
I'll give it to you since we're doing a list of favorite and not best.
Yeah,
but if you're going to sit here and tell me the best player from that team was not Chris Bosh, you are wrong. Chris Bosh is by far the best, probably the best international basketball player of the last 20 years. And I don't even like Chris Bosh.
I mean, I don't know what that means, the best international.
Okay, so there are different rules. There are different rules above the rim. There's different shot clock. The three-point line.
Closer.
Yeah, so there are different rules for international than there are for the NBA. His style of play, being more physical, guarding the rim better, work a lot better when there's less rules about what above the rim means.
Mm-hmm.
So he's able to swat the ball away more. He's got a better touch from the closer three, and they let you play more physical, so he's allowed to beat people up.
All right, so
he's a dinosaur. Yeah. Look at him.
So why
Melo?
So 3-time gold medalist in 2008 Beijing, 2012 London, 2016 Rio de Janeiro, and 2004 Athens bronze medalist.
Yeah,
he's taking home a lot of medals.
Yes.
None of them's a ring.
But that's 3 straight golds on the teams that he's been on. And if you look at his stats at that time, he has been a driving force on every single one of those gold medal teams.
Okay, but why couldn't he do that with the Knicks?
right, great.
Why isn't Chris Bosh one of the best players in the NBA?
Yeah. Because he got sick and had to call his career short.
Even Carmelo before
Anthony,
that,
he Carmelo was. Anthony could be a great scorer in the Olympics, but the other cast around him in the Olympics is all stars also. You put him on the Knicks with everything. You
that's true.
Mediocre players.
Dolan's been there to mess up his life plenty. So.
There's a lot of drama. You know, you got a president of basketball operations that openly says that he doesn't want you on his team. That makes you feel it. So I feel like, you know, the success that he should deserve is the Olympics right now. He deserves all of that.
So he met your criteria, so there you go.
Yeah, no, that's what I said. It favorite, that's right. So that will work.
I can just hope that he can go to a team and win a championship and rub it in their face.
Yeah.
Somewhere?
Yeah.
Yeah, hopefully.
So what are we on, three now?
Yeah, well, we're going to recap four. Misty May, Misty May Trainer and Carrie Walsh for me. Tony, yours was?
Jim Thorpe.
Nice.
I had runner Michael Johnson.
Most average name ever.
I had the 92 Dream Team.
Perfect. Dan Beebe.
NBA basketball star Carmelo Anthony.
Perfect. So now we're going to get into round three. For me, it's going to be a person who has a foreign-sounding name, but they competed for the Americans in the Olympics.
I don't believe it. Foreigners can compete for us.
I didn't say she was a foreigner. I said she had a foreign-sounding name. Now, this is a sport that I don't know if any of you guys have. It's gymnastics.
I do have a gymnastics person on my list also.
Perfect. I love gymnastics, especially in the Olympics, but even college gymnastics. I would rather, I've said this on the show many times, I'd rather watch my kid, either gender, do gymnastics than play soccer. Without a doubt. All right.
Depending on the event, balance beam can get a little dry.
No, I like it all.
Not at the Olympic level, but at lower levels.
Yeah,
I enjoy soccer. I do.
Well, you're what's wrong with America.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
So,
it's an entertaining sport.
That being said, my number three is Nastia Lukin. 2008 Beijing gold medal winner. Huge upset over her teammate, Shawn Johnson.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
She stole the gold medal from her teammate. That's awesome.
Although that just tells you the talent that America really does have. I mean, if you look at it, as far as gymnastics and female, America does have a lot of gymnastic talent
on
the female teams.
I mean, just
they've been pretty dominant.
Yeah, no, they've definitely been there.
Just that team alone was incredibly stacked. You had Shawn Johnson as the captain, Gabby Douglas, Alicia Sacramone, you had Nastia Lukin. Incredible.
Well, I'm just saying, to compete on the level that we do consistently year after year, where with China and Russia,
the best two Olympics we've had, a crazy team as well.
Yeah,
but I mean, you're competing against China and Russia, where they're basically coming out of the womb, going full bore at gymnastics until they get to Olympic levels. Whereas in America, yeah, there is that obsession, but we're still putting out strong teams year in and year out.
Oh yeah,
across
absolutely.
The board. To the point where you're starting to talk about our own athletes competing against each other towards the medal ceremonies, that you're not even thinking about another athlete from another country.
That's happened for years. There's always been, you know, competitions where the top competitors are all from the same country competing against each other. It's not just the United States either.
And it even gets to the point where it's siblings, because you had the Hahn brothers
mm-hmm.
who competed against each other in gymnastics, and I think one won gold, one won bronze.
Yeah, I think that's
with some Russian dude who
some
won
happy
silver.
Parents right there. Let me tell you.
Seriously,
yeah.
I would hate to be the bronze though of the brothers.
I mean, they both got endorsements together anyways, so like their money's made. They don't care.
Yep.
All right, Tony, who you got at number three?
Number three is everyone's favorite marijuana smoking swimmer of all time, Michael Phelps.
Wow,
most decorated Olympic athlete of all time. Seems to have done this on... The one thing I've always liked about Phelps is given how absolutely dominating he is, he's always seemed to be his own person. He's never been too outlandish. He's never been the one that needs the spotlight on him. He just goes out every single time and delivers. And I still believe that we're not done seeing him. I don't think he'll do any more individual events, but I think we may see him at relays.
I couldn't put him on my list for one simple reason. He went to the University of Michigan.
Yeah, I understand that. I'm willing to overlook that.
That's the only reason?
I'm willing to overlook that, and him particularly
he broke
only.
Records.
I mean,
yeah, he did.
You're talking about a swimmer, and then he gets caught smoking marijuana. Like, this guy whose life pretty much derives around lung capacity gets caught doing it. And then what does he do? Loses his Wheaties endorsement, comes back and wins more gold medals.
So it's funny, he loses his Wheaties endorsement for weed.
Yeah, we got.
Like, yeah, ironic.
Free McDonald's for life.
Yeah, free McDonald's for life. Oh, man. At the Beijing Olympics, they broke down, like, what he ate. And he was taking in like 9,000 calories at a meal.
Yeah.
Like his lunch was like 3 Big Macs, yep. 2 double quarter pounders with cheese, 5 sodas, 10 large fries, and it's just like, oh,
that's
man.
Insane. I couldn't imagine putting that down in a day.
Yeah, no. And he has to like just maintain. Yeah.
I have
he
a burnt, hard time putting down a 10 piece.
He eats like 24,000 calories a day.
Yeah.
Man, it's crazy. I can do a 10 piece, no problem. No problem.
That I don't doubt.
ten. Give me one time. My
the
friend,
10-piece should be something that you have in the car on the way home.
Yeah, my friend John, Keith, and I. One night we thought we'd be funny, and we would go to McDonald's, order a bunch of food, and have a little eating contest. We each got 20 double cheeseburgers.
This is gonna go bad, isn't it?
Oh god, this already sounds bad.
I ate 16 of the 20.
Was there
so
time? Was this were you racing for this, or was this?
We weren't racing. It was just like
just finished.
Yeah,
eat until
yeah.
you can't.
Eat until you can't. No stopping. So like you can't like stop for 15 minutes and go more.
Right, right.
I ate 16.
Were you allowed any beverages?
Oh yeah, beverages are fine. Yeah.
Okay.
Diet Coke.
No, I wouldn't eat. I wouldn't drink it. I wouldn't wish a Diet Coke my worst enemy.
did you have something with carbonation, or did you think that it was? Did you use?
I probably had
like,
a root beer.
Oh, okay.
Probably had a root beer. That's what,
like who that just like won the Nathan's hot dog.
Did you get sick?
I probably did.
Oh Jesus! Well, we know who won.
It was me. I ate more than the other two combined.
I don't know if any of you were winners there.
McDonald's won out this.
Wait! It was only on the dollar menu at that time.
So. You passed out with a grease hangover.
Maybe. I don't remember it.
I'm surprised you didn't like instantly like have a heart attack.
I was like 15, this was 12 years ago. Yeah.
Speaking of which, who was it just won the Nathan's hot dog contest?
Yeah, American Joey Chestnut. Yeah. Olympic record, or not Olympic.
Not an Olympic sport.
World record, 72 hot dogs.
The only reason it's not an Olympic sport is they know America would win every time.
No, Kobayashi. Yeah, Kobayashi was the benchmark before Joey Chestnut.
He's like, Kobayashi's like an honorary American. Like, let's be real.
An honorary American.
I don't think, I can't take him seriously because is his name really Chestnut? Joey Chestnut, that's what's on your birth certificate? Prove it.
Yeah. All right.
It's low.
All right. So we've got Michael Phelps as Tony's number three. Chuckles, who you got?
I am also going to go with a gymnast, and I'm going to go from the 1984 Los Angeles Games.
Get out of here.
You know it.
You're going all the way back?
Yeah, you know I'm going to Mary Lou Retton.
Mary Lou Retton, of course.
She was the first American gymnast to ever win a gold medal.
And she did it on a sprained ankle, right?
Yes, and she did it in the all-around. And the interesting thing, too, was that she didn't compete much in international play before that, so she was kind of like a
rookie.
Yeah, not only a rookie, no one really internationally knew about her at all. So she was under the radar. She was under the radar. She got her perfect 10, and was our first gymnast to kind of put the U.S. gymnasts on the map.
Yeah, she was definitely. If you look at sports stars as heroes, she was an American hero.
Trailblazer. My mom still has her Wheaties box.
Yeah.
Speaking the Wheaties from before.
Yeah, smoking the Wheaties, speaking the Wheaties, whatever.
She probably was.
I don't know. She was like 13.
Yeah, no, she was really young, and she surprised a lot of people.
Like, Allie Raisman is like the oldest American Olympian gymnast in history, and she's like 21.
Yeah.
So
it's a young person sport.
Yeah, actually, there was an issue in Beijing because the...
They were like 11?
Yeah, they were 11 and 12 yeah. when they were supposed to be 14.
Yep.
Yeah, I do remember.
Leave it to the Chinese to find a way around something.
Yeah, they hate girls anyways, so like, oh,
funny. I'm surprised they had enough to be on an Olympic team.
Do we do this in our manufacturing? Why can't we do this in our gymnastics?
We don't have enough girls. Tape it up.
All right.
All righty then.
And now I've just pissed off an entire country.
Pretty much an entire continent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Close.
Well, that's a billion people that are never going to listen.
Yeah.
They wouldn't understand me anyway.
Right. I had them up until that.
All right. Chuckles with Mary Lou Retton and Dan O'Shea. Who you got?
I had Phelps and who I'm now promoting to two, kind of as like two and three even. So I'll wait on them and just say Phelps again just to get it out of the way. 28 medals, 23 of them gold, you know, the winningest Olympian in history.
Yeah, pretty but see, impressive. Jordan was 6 for 6, so...
True, but I mean...
I think those silvers were mostly like... group events.
There's nothing more dominating.
He got a silver this year. Some kid from Singapore beat him.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Some kid from Singapore, 16-year-old kid from Singapore in the most recent Olympics, beat Michael Phelps. Phelps came in second. And Phelps was like a true class act, which was weird because he seemed like a complete jerk the entire Olympics. Like
he was just mean mugging. He was getting.
Pushed. I think people I think it's misconceived that he looks like a jerk. Because he's just got that resting, like, pissed off face all the time.
He's a doofy.
I think he just zones in and he just tries to box everybody out.
The only thing I'm really looking at, I love Michael Phelps. He performed really well. The only thing I'm really looking forward to not seeing anymore is his mother. Her stance. I don't know.
But now we get to see his wife and baby.
That's fine with me, but his mother was just
I still boring. Think we haven't seen the end of him. I still think he's on some relay teams in the upcoming Olympics.
At the very least, he'll be a coach.
Oh, yeah.
At the very least. But I would not be surprised to see him running, like, third position on some of the races.
I could see NBC wanting to grab him up and do
commentary.
Yeah,
better than Bob Costas.
Yeah.
Well, but Bob Costas has been doing it for a long time, and he is a legend in the sports commentary.
Do you know who else was a legend? Ole Yeller.
Bob Costas to a dog that got shot.
Yeah, Bob Costas should be Ole Yeller. Anyways, Michael
knowing
Phelps
our luck will get Phil Sims. Thanks.
Does not matter. Better than Bob Costas.
No, absolutely
listen,
not.
Listen,
I
watch sports.
Phil Sims ever announcing anything ever in my life.
I watch sports for sports. I don't want you to tell me how I should be feeling about world events and you know your biased politics when I'm trying to listen about Katie Ledecky winning gold medals. Speaking of Katie Ledecky, I think he's kind of Michael Phelps is kind of coaching her. She's dominant too. She's crazy.
Yeah, she's gonna be impressive.
A monster.
For a long time.
Yeah. All right.
She might take those overall the winningest from him.
She might. Well,
careful.
Well, I don't know because her races are all endurance.
How young is
true.
She?
True.
She's 18.
She's got a chance to do it. She's good. It's gonna be close.
Yeah. I don't know how many she won this year, but it was.
She won three.
Yeah, it was impressive.
Enough. Yeah, she won two team and one individual.
More than us.
I don't know about that.
I don't have one lying around the house.
Oh, I thought you did.
I've got all the potential in the world. I could be
actually, I'm a three-time curling champion.
Yeah. Excuse me. This is where I tell poker becomes an Olympic sport. All right, Dan Beebe, who do you have at number three?
We have American pro wrestler Kurt Angle.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yep, known for his famous quotes of, oh, it's true, it's bleeping true.
You suck.
Claims to have
you
won
suck.
His 1996 Olympic gold medal with a broken neck at the Atlanta Games in the men's freestyle 100 kg. He is a former WWE champion and the current WWE Raw general manager.
Yeah.
Broken neck is questionable. I can see vertebrae.
He came back
or something.
To the WWE?
Yeah, he's a general manager of Raw, yeah.
Huh.
Yep. Very,
very
controversial,
but he's holding his ground so far.
Yeah, he's... He
like filling in for Kane or something while Kane's
replaced,
running for office somewhere?
He replaced Mick Foley.
Mick Foley, yeah.
In Iowa or something?
Yeah, it's
Tennessee. Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah, he's running for mayor of Knox, Tennessee.
Who is?
Kane.
Glenn
Jacobs.
Yeah. He's probably going to win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's running on the libertarian line.
I think he's been trying to run for a while now, too, hasn't he? But
well, he's just now getting clearance because he hasn't lived in one area for more than 3 years.
Yeah.
So he wasn't eligible to run for anything, but now he's eligible, from what I understand, now he's eligible to run for mayor of Knox, Tennessee, and plans to run for Congress after that.
Trust me, it's just a matter of time before Rock's the president.
It's going to happen. Yeah. And a lot of people question, like, oh, he's Samoan. No, he's born in Miami. Get over it.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. No, he's a Republican, too.
Yeah, yeah. So Rock versus Kanye.
Rock versus Mark Cuban.
Rock versus Kanye. That's coming. 2020 SmackDown.
If that's 2020, no, I think I'm going to be finding a new country and be doing this podcast by phone or something.
Start a business. By satellite? Up our headquarters.
Let me know where you're going. We can meet at one spot. We can get some Skype going on. If that's the case.
Yeah. But I think The Rock would be a decent politician.
He's likable enough.
He's definitely likable, and he fits a broad spectrum. I mean, I don't know what his policies are.
Yeah, exactly.
I know that Kanye's West have to be bad.
Mr.
decision making as far as his wife to figure out where he chooses.
Well, this is what it would be like. So, Mr. Kanye, tell me what it is you plan to do about ISIS. It doesn't matter what you plan to do about ISIS.
That's exactly how the debate would go. It'd be sold on pay-per-view events.
Exactly. And then at the end, he'd put him through a table with a rock bottom. Anyways.
Bunch of candy asses.
Yeah. Rudy Poo.
Rudy Poo, candy.
People's elbow.
We're shining up real nice. Yeah. Turn that sumbitch sideways and stick it straight up your candy ass. All right. So my number three was Nastia Lukin. Tony, you're number three.
Michael Phelps.
Chuckles.
Mary Lou Retton.
Also Phelps.
Dan Beebe.
U.S. wrestler Kurt Angle.
All right, we're getting into number two. I'm going to hit the swimmers now for the first time.
Ooh.
My girl, Maya Dorado.
Oh, okay.
Throwback. No, she just won this year.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm sorry. I was thinking someone else.
Come from behind. She wasn't even expected to get the bronze medal. Stormed all the way back in the 200 medley and won gold. She won freaking gold.
Everybody in America loves an underdog story, and she's the perfect example of it last year.
The worst thing about this, though, is I'll never get to see her swim again. She retired after one Olympics.
Sure you will. Just go on YouTube.
She's moving to Houston, where she got a real job, making a ton of money. And she'll live happily with her husband, who's also got a real job, making a ton of money.
Yeah,
what does she do?
I don't remember.
I mean,
something lucrative.
You kind of have to respect it. I mean, you made it to the highest stage. You won the highest medal possible. And then you're like, I'm done.
From what I understand from the quick look up I did after the Olympics, it's high six figures. Her husband makes low seven figures a year.
Yeah, they're good.
Yeah, they're fine. That's I could do that.
Yeah.
Sure. What job is it? Where is the application for such a thing? What does it require?
Yeah, I don't know.
What are the qualifications?
I'm pretty sure we don't have the skills.
Prerequisite.
Yeah. Prerequisite. Gold medal.
Yeah.
Actually, she's got three gold medals. She's got three gold medals. One thanks to Katie Ledecky just getting an absolute crazy
lead.
Yeah.
They could have like pretty much floated for half the race the rest of the time. And
I think they did. I think
donkey paddled the rest of the
I think they brought out the floaties and just.
Probably.
All right. So, Maya Dorado, my favorite Olympian of these Olympics, most recent Olympics, is who I have at number two.
My number two is actually previously mentioned, and it was the Dream Team. So, I
don't
need to expand any more on it. Just think that they were one of the most entertaining spots that we've ever seen throughout Olympic Games. And they deserve the credit that they have for just overall dominance, not to mention the names that were on that roster. Like, it's absolutely insane when you think that all those people decided to get together.
Yeah.
For an Olympics.
Yeah, it's
you need to
crazy.
They're just having, like, the time of their lives.
Oh, yeah.
I had the time of my life.
I was trying to collect all the McDonald's cups because they had all the players on them and everything like that. That was pretty cool.
I think the better version of the Dream Team was when they became the Monstars.
Yeah.
Yes. Anyways.
Like half of them. Yeah.
Yeah. Chuckles.
I'm going to go with Roland Gardner. He was
Kian?
The
Roland Gardner. Yeah, you know
the Russian.
Yeah.
Well, wait, did you say the Russian?
No.
He beat the Russian.
He beat the Russian. Yeah,
he was
right.
A U.S. wrestler in the 2000 Sydney Games, and he fought and defeated Alexander Karelin, who was at the time the three-time Olympic returning champion. He was undefeated in international play for at that time 13 years, and had not even given up a point in a wrestling Greco-Roman match in 3 years prior to that.
It's not real wrestling.
What, Greco-Roman wrestling?
No, what you see with people putting other people through tables, laying the smackdown. That's what's
done. This podcast.
No, but
see you next
to
week.
Have someone, I mean, to have
to
someone
not give up a point.
He was this man hadn't
so
lost in 13
insane.
Years.
Yeah.
He had lost in 13 years.
Like I did a year of wrestling, and
Miss American comes
giving
out
him a
of
point
nowhere
is super easy. You know, you made one minor mistake, and
yep.
There's a point.
And this Alexander Karelin didn't give up a point in 3 years prior to this.
That's
and
insane.
And Roland Gardner went in there and in overtime won and won gold medal.
That's incredible.
It was unbelievable.
It's incredible.
Another great underdog story. Yeah!
Yes. All right. Dan O'Shea.
All right. At number two, I have Jesse Owens.
Of course you do.
Of course I do.
Of course.
Why wouldn't
you do?
I have Jesse Owens? He basically spit in Hitler's face in 1936 and his racist Aryan ideology. He won.
This is
four
the group
goals.
Of white people doing this podcast.
So what? He's an American. He's literally like the definition of an American Olympic hero. Won the 100 meter, 200 meter, 4x100 relay, and the long jump.
And had the audacity to salute right next to the German, giving the Heil Hitler on the podium, winning the gold. He held the American salute right next to him.
I'm just kidding. Of course, Jesse Owen. You only like using Ohio State guy.
I like Jesse Owen before what he also symbolizes, I think, during the time period. For Jesse Owens to walk into Berlin with all this rhetoric about
the
superior
Nazis
race
rising to
just
power.
For him to, with Hitler in attendance at times, spanking these people. Not even, like, close. I'm
pretty sure you can watch Hitler reaction videos on like,
yeah, I
YouTube
think you can. There's probably a scowl on his face. Not that he ever looked happy, but
but yeah, just to you know, stomp on everything that your whole hateful country at
premises
the time is
built off of.
Yeah. Yeah, and just, you know, just getting stomped on by Jesse Owens four times.
Yep. And of course, they're just, it's not, his scowl doesn't have to do with anything with Jesse Owens. So, you know.
All right, so, Dan O'Shea, we just finished with you. Dan Beebe, who do you have as your number two?
At number two, we have legendary boxer Muhammad Ali.
Solid choice.
Good choice.
Light heavyweight gold medalist in the Rome Olympics, then known as Cassius Clay. He's part of the first Olympic Games to be televised internationally, and later on in 1996 in Atlanta, did the honors of lighting the torch.
I was going to say, I don't think Muhammad Ali ever competed in an Olympics.
He
did. Cassius
it
Clay.
It was Clay.
It was Cassius Clay, but he also threw the medal into the river.
That's what he claims, but I don't know if that, has that ever been like,
his
friends, did anyone find the medal?
I think
later on?
There's people that were there to attest to him throwing it into the river. I mean, there's really no way for us to ever.
I think he sold it.
No, for sure.
I mean, no, he
could have.
He was so,
it.
You know.
He was not OJ.
He was, you know, he was in some ways reasonably upset with America and its treatment of, you know, black people in general. And felt betrayed by his country and threw it in the river. I don't know that we could say that's unreasonable.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But, yeah, the story was, I think, his friend said he lost it, and then in 1996 they gave him a replacement medal, I guess, just in case.
Oh,
that,
well,
that was
that's
true, so.
Well, now, Mr. Ali, does that sound like a bad country to you? All
well,
right.
It's the Olympic Committee that gave him back the medal. It's not,
yeah.
You know, the U.S. Didn't do anything with that.
All right, so anyways.
Great movie with Will Smith.
Ali, good movie.
A fantastic movie.
All right. Anyways. So, round number two, I have Maya Dorado.
I have the Dream Team.
at Roland Gardner.
Jesse Owens.
And Dan Beebe.
Boxer Muhammad Ali.
Perfect. Now, what we're going to do before we get to our number one is we're going to go through honorable mentions. I am typically the honorable mention king, but I myself only have one.
Yeah, we'll see. Well,
like a one and one A. Like I said, we're going to do our honorable mentions, then number one. If you have one that you're questioning that you want to save as number one, save it for number one. My honorable mention is the 2004 Olympic softball team, in particular Crystal Bustos, because she was an absolute monster, jacking home run after home run after home run to help the United States win gold in those 2004 Olympic games. Now, of course, it was a team sport. Jenny Finch, Kat Osterman, they were all important to the team. But Crystal Bustos was the offense. And she is my favorite member of that team because of her just absolute power. I think there was one game she had three home runs. That might not be correct, but I'm pretty sure I remember watching her hit three home runs in one game.
That's not impressive. I don't really remember that off the top of my head, but not a big baseball or softball person, so...
I vaguely remember the softball team being very good that year, but until you said Finch, I couldn't have named a person on that roster.
I don't think they lost at all.
I believe it.
Olympics.
I wasn't watching softball, so...
All right, so that's my honorable mention. What have you got, Tony?
I do not have any honorable mentions this week.
Oh, okay. What about you, Chuckles?
I do not have an American notable mention or honorable mention, but I do, when I was reading and researching, I came across this man named Lawrence Lemieux, and he was a Canadian sailor, so kind of North America.
Oh, I mean, if we're...
The continent, I guess.
If we're going to do that, we'll do... My favorite Olympian is a tennis player, and that's my boy Andy Murray.
Oh, no, I get it, and that's cool, too, but I never heard of this guy beforehand. The only thing that was really cool about this story was that in the middle of the competition, in the sailing competition, and I want to remember what year this was. It was in the 1988 South Korean Games.
Oh, nice, in Seoul.
Yeah, he was on pace to get the silver medal in the sailing competition when another boat capsized and the guys were underneath, and he jumped off his boat, disqualifying himself, saving the other two guys, getting back on his boat, and still placed 21st out of 32. Wow.
That's not bad.
I do vaguely remember hearing about that story, and it was obviously amazing.
I do actually have one other honorable mention. It's not necessarily Olympics, and tell me if you guys accept this, but it was July 4th, 1776, when the soon-to-be United States won the first-ever international war games between the United States and Great Britain. Does that count?
No.
Does that count?
No, that doesn't matter.
That's just a war.
Oh.
They carved the medals out of wood?
They carved the medals out of tea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Honorable mention.
Honorable mention, Dan O'Shea.
All right. I had Michael Johnson on here and also Ali. I also have Joe Frazier. He broke his thumb in the semifinal, and then still fought in the final and won gold with a broken thumb. And he was the only person that knew that he had a broken thumb. He hid it from everyone else.
I mean, it's easy. It's kind of easy to hide under a glove.
Yeah, but punching with that.
Still
oh
gotta be
God,
tough.
that must have hurt.
So oh yeah, no, I'm not saying that. Oh, it's easy. You got a glove. I'm saying it's easy to hide because no one can see your actual hand.
Yeah,
and then my other honorable mention remaining is Greg Louganis. It's
because
of that
God.
Wonderful last name, but winning with a cracked skull. That's
impressive. Still a hard video to watch.
Seriously, oh my God, it. I don't get, like, queasy easily, but watching him crack his head open and the blood just pouring into the pool, God.
It looks like an egg just cracks open.
Especially at Olympic events where things like that you hear the board and everything. The thud that his head makes hitting that board is so, like, if that doesn't, like, give you, like, a chill every time that you hear it, like, I don't know what would.
And then it gets exacerbated by the fact that he has AIDS, so they have to drain the pool.
Yep.
And all of that, clean it, and then refill it so that they can use it. Although still not as dirty water as they had in Brazil this past time.
Oh, yeah, that was
that's true. That was a health hazard.
I could not understand why
that
was happening.
I don't like how the Olympics can just kind of go anywhere. Like, there should
to the highest bidder.
Certain standards, yeah.
I think it should just bounce around in three countries. Just United States, England, France. United States, England, France. Just do that.
I don't think you can do it that way. You gotta give them at least somewhere in Asia. Give China, for God's sake.
China did a great job.
Yeah, Beijing was.
Yeah, China can do it.
I mean, they hit an ugly girl who was actually singing to showcase a pretty girl who wasn't actually singing. But whatever, human rights don't matter.
These are big economic boosts for some of these countries that would never.
Really it's actually initially
it's really
bad for a lot of countries.
Yeah,
it's not
up front. But when you have the foot traffic coming through and the money being spent during the actual events,
yeah. But once the event's over,
and
a lot of
the all the
places
get condemned. Yeah.
Most of the money doesn't go to the local places. It's international corporations that are selling in the Olympics, and it's the IOC that, you know, takes the majority of the funds.
Athens made like $250 million when American dollars when they had the Olympics.
And Greece is still in a crisis.
And then they lost like $6.5 billion because of it.
Yeah.
So
it's
really if you don't have good infrastructure, it's terrible.
Yeah,
that's true.
Is that it for your honorable mentions?
Yeah. Yep.
Dan Beebe, what have you got?
I also had Greg Louganis, but Dan did a good job of summing it up. So I'll go with my second one, the 1980 U.S. men's hockey team.
Now, I'll talk about that in depth. They're my number one.
Oh, really? Wow. You're just doing all the cliches, Dan O'Shea.
Might as well.
I'm with them on that. I still think the greatest American sports team.
All right. So, let's get into our number ones. For me, it's a Winter Olympian. I believe my first Winter Olympian.
Apollo
Anton Ono.
Speech is it really?
It 100% is.
Oh, man.
He
nailed it. Swish.
He is the only reason anyone knows what speed skating is.
I don't know. Brian Boitano. Well,
that's
Brian
ice skating.
Yeah,
that's ice skating. That's figure
skating.
It's
all ice
No, it's different. No. Speed skating is
figure skating is on TV on Sundays still, whereas speed skating is on if you have like a sports package and you stumble along the long channel.
I had never heard of speed skating until I woke
the
up.
Show. Speed
yeah.
skating.
Until
yeah.
I woke up at That's 5 a.m. one day to watch the Olympics, and it was the only thing that was on. So I'm like, you know what? Let me watch it. So I watched it, and it was good. It was real good. I got hooked immediately. And Apollo Anton Ono just won everything. And then he won Dancing with the Stars, but that's later on. But he just incredible, super fast, and
wasn't Jerry Rice on Dancing with the Stars too?
Like every NFL player,
yeah,
has been.
Emmitt Smith has been there. Herschel Walker.
I think it's a rule when you retire.
Jennings just won. Rashard Jennings just won.
Yeah,
but at least he won something.
Yeah, but
he has a trophy.
Apollo Anton Ono, the most decorated speed skater in speed skating history. The only other person that I can name that's ever been a speed skater is Shawnee Davis.
Dan Jansen.
Oh, Dan Jansen. You're right. Dan Jansen. Okay, so there's three. There's
yeah,
three.
Pulled that out of a hole.
There are three speed skaters that I can name. So Apollo Anton Ono is the Michael Phelps of the Winter Olympics. 100%. That's why he's my number one. That and the name.
It's
you know
a
me.
Pretty sweet name.
I love names.
Yeah, you do love names.
That's a good name.
It is a sweet name for an athlete. I feel like you have to be that or an astronaut.
Yeah, right.
Those are the only two you get. You're either a pro athlete or
musician.
You're an astronaut.
I mean, musician.
Only Armstrong.
All right. So, Tony, I believe we know who yours is.
Well, I'm not going to go into crazy detail. I'm sure Dan's got way more stats on him. But yes, my team is the Miracle on Ice 80 hockey team. Just the story alone of really, to me personally, signifies the American spirit in general with this hockey team. As far as the unwavering ability to never give up, to keep fighting, even when the odds seem like they're nowhere close to being in your favor,
but that
to battle and win against a team full of, as you were complaining about the Dream Team, stacked with professional hockey players.
They didn't beat them in the gold medal game, though. That's the whole thing that really pisses me off about this.
That's fine.
They didn't. That wasn't the gold medal game.
It was the game. Like, you were talking about how UConn was the game before the show for whoever.
Mississippi State.
It was they were the team to beat. You know, if you beat them, you were going to win gold, which they did.
And what happened? Mississippi State lost.
Okay, but that didn't happen to the USA team.
Won.
The US hockey team, that might as well have been the gold medal around. I don't care who came out of the next round. That was, if America was going to win, they needed to win then. And they did it when they were completely undermatched in this entire, in every aspect of the game, they were undermatched in this scenario. For them to win proves that at one time, for one game, anybody can beat anybody else in anything.
Did you ever see the movie Friday Night Lights?
Yeah.
Billy Bob Thornton?
Yeah. So, in the movie, spoiler alert, I apologize. In the movie,
it's only like 20 years old.
The Permian Panthers faced the Dallas Carter, whatever they were, in the championship, in Texas State Championship game. That didn't happen.
Yeah, that's,
it was
that's
a second round of the playoffs. And they make it seem like the Dallas Carter team was completely stacked. The only player they had that went to a legitimate college was LeVar Arrington, who went to Penn State.
Okay, so what does this have
Where's
to do with anything?
Where's the point that you're making in this?
That's the same kind of bogus lies that they perpetuated in Miracle.
No one's lying, saying that this is the gold medal game. Nowhere during that movie did they claim
Soviets
to be such
had
a thing.
Won 6 of the 7 previous Winter Olympic golds. They had professional players on their team. The Americans were all amateurs.
All like college
Roland
players.
That's,
well, that's, that well, that's like... That's like Olympic hockey for the Americans today. Because all the hockey players in the NHL are not American.
Yeah, because for all those years we were getting our butts whooped. We were like, if we want a good product, we got to go over where it's cold all the time.
Forget this. I'm going to play basketball.
This is a cold weather sport. Russia, Serbia, Canada, go find them.
Yeah, Finland.
Yeah, Norway.
Yeah, America only had one former Olympian on the team. The rest were brand new. You know, 9 of them were players that had been for University of Minnesota under coach Herb Brooks.
Who was played by, what's his name? Kurt Russell?
Yeah.
Oh, I hate Kurt Russell.
What a selection.
I hate Kurt Russell. I'd rather have had Samuel L. Jackson.
That would have been amazing.
So
actually.
Much better.
When they have a movie about P.K. Subban, he better be played by
I think he's a little old to play.
He's a little old Jackson.
Don't do it. Well, you know, just think about this too. Al Michaels probably wouldn't have his job on Sunday Night Football if it wasn't for that game.
That's true.
So, do you believe in miracles? Yes.
I mean, I'm not all that sold on Al Michaels. I just want John Madden back.
Listen, we know you're a natural born hater. Yeah. Nobody's denying enough. This.
Hate.
This podcast alone should get you nominated for the player.
The player hater of the year.
And that's inspiration for you the next time the Oakland A's are down 12-0 in the bottom of the ninth. You gotta believe that all things are possible.
No. So the A's can be up 7-0 in the ninth, and I still think they're gonna lose
it. I do too, usually we're watching it.
I've been surprised. They won the last three. I'm like, whoa, what's going on here? And they swept the Yanks, so I'm just like, I don't know what's going on.
Nah,
anyways. So you've got the Miracle on Ice, Chuckles.
I also had one that Dan had earlier. It was my number one is Jesse Owens. It's always been Jesse Owens ever since I was a kid. He was the greatest Olympic athlete that I've ever known since I was a kid, and I don't think anyone would surpass that. And the only thing I would probably add is the amount of civil rights stuff he was dealing with in his own country, and then to represent his own country and then go over there and go to a country that would hate him even more than his own country.
Yeah,
and he was dating both ends. He was dealing with hate. And,
and
still
to do all that and come back and not get invited to the White House.
Yeah, no, exactly. And he persevered.
Who's the
and
president, though?
You could argue to say that
FDR.
FDR, yeah.
You could argue to say
most inclusive president. Yeah, okay.
But you could argue to say that Jesse Owens did more than some soldiers did.
as far as morale.
Certainly morale.
And make a message or piss off the Germans.
Just for a message to the world and the country as a whole.
We are America.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's easier for a celebrity who does something like that to be thought of in a higher regard as soldiers, because other than people you're related to, name a soldier.
Yeah, but mind you, Jesse Owens was going to Germany
Steve Rogers,
where he was still a black man in the United States in the 1930s.
Yeah.
It was like he was going over someplace that hated him, but he was also leaving someplace that was giving him a hard time too.
Where he's a second class citizen, and he still persevered.
I'm not disagreeing. The only negative remarks I have about him are Ohio State.
I hear.
He's a suck eye.
God, I can't bring on college football.
All right. Well, we'll get to that. Dan O'Shea, tell me more about the miracle.
I don't have much more to add besides what
Kurt Russell, what
I already said. Herb Brooks also made everyone that wanted to be on the team take a psych test to see how they responded under pressure. And if they didn't take it, they were instantly, you know, off the
team. That's actually a really smart thing to do.
Are you stupid enough to play the Russians?
And think you can beat them when you're down a goal in the third.
This guy's crazy enough, he might work. All right.
And then they went on to beat Finland for the gold. And the Russians actually took silver. Because they went and beat Sweden after that, and they had the better record than Finland.
I thought they took bronze.
I thought they took silver.
Because I thought Finland got silver.
I don't know how it works. I don't know if it's just like...
You play in a gold medal game. The winner gets gold.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure.
Back then it might have been different.
Yeah, I don't know.
Either way, they didn't win gold.
Yeah, they didn't win gold. America did.
Americans won gold. That's all that matters.
And that's, you know, what pretty much led to the fall of the Soviet Union. I'm not spitballing at all there.
That had nothing to do with Reagan.
That was Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall and put up a hockey rink.
The failed nonsense in Afghanistan and other parts of the world.
Or their
people starving.
Right.
That was Rocky versus Ivan Drago.
Yeah, that's what it was. That's what brought it down.
All right, Dan Beebe, who do you have at number one?
At number one, U.S. Olympic swimmer Mark Spitz.
Mark Spitz. The Sports Illustrated with all the medals that Michael Phelps like, I got you.
Yeah.
Anyways, 9-time Olympic gold medalist, 1-time silver and 1-time bronze medalist in events such as the 100-meter freestyle, 100-meter butterfly. Butterfly. Nicknamed Mark the Shark, he was named World Swimmer of the year in 1969, 1971, 1972. It was also the third athlete to reach 9 Olympic gold medals.
All right, perfect. I believe Dan O'Shea's got a little bit of news.
Soviets won silver.
Soviets won silver.
Yeah.
All right. Where's that crow?
You're going
to
eat it?
I'm going to have to. I'm a little hungry. Where's that crow? All right. So.
I forgot Finland was involved. That's what I forgot.
Let's go back through our number ones. I have Apollo Anton Ono. Tony.
The Miracle on Ice, 1980s hockey team.
Chuckles.
Jesse Owens.
Wish that I had Jesse Owens. O'Shea.
Miracle on Ice.
BB.
Mark Spitz.
Perfect. So this concludes our top 5 American Olympic athletes of all time. All right.
Good topic for a Fourth of July episode.
Exactly. So
got your America going.
We're going to continue on with 4th of July as we get into our This Week in Sports History.
Mm.
July 4th, 1939. The New York Yankees on July 4th, 1939, retired their first uniform. That would be Lou Gehrig's number 4.
Yep.
Wow.
On July 4th, 1939.
That's a cool fact.
That is a cool fact.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So that's going to do it for the content of our show. We've got a little bit more that we just need to talk about really quickly. First, of course, you can find us on iTunes. Visit our blog, dandantonysports.blogspot.com. Check us out on Facebook, Dan D'Antoni Sports. Check us out on Twitter, at Dan D'Antoni. And we have a surprise starting next week. i.e. Tuesday, we will no longer be recording our podcast. We will be doing it live. So you will be able to interact with us live on Tuesday night. More details to follow. Check us out, like I said, on Facebook and Twitter.
As Bill O'Reilly said, F it, we're going live.
Yeah.
Going live!
Going live!
Oh no, here come the letters.
All right, so for Dan Snyder, Dan O'Shea, Tony Casper, Dan Beebe, and the one and only Chuckles, thank you. Have a great night.